My father loves a clean car. Every week growing up, my dad, my brother, and I would wash the family cars. Every summer, the project was hand polishing and waxing the family cars. We had a 1987 Chevy Suburban, and I don't know of a family car that has more washable or waxable surface area than a 1987 Chevy Suburban. When I was in middle school, my grandparents moved into town, and I soon learned that my dad came by that honestly. My grandpa also loved a clean car, and so now we had two summer projects. I grew to resent this as a 13-year-old. Fast forward a few years, when I was 25, I bought a black sports coupe, Infiniti G37S, with a 6-speed manual. And to my chagrin, I learned that I, too, like my father and his father before him, like a clean car. We have an idiom for this. It's like father, like son. And all of the virtues that comprise the fruit of the Spirit operate this way. But goodness in particular has very clear lines from God the Father to God the Son, Jesus, and through the Spirit to us, God's adopted sons and daughters. Our Heavenly Father is good. Our God is absolutely perfect. He does not sin. He does not make mistakes. There is no bad in him at all. There is nothing lacking in him. He is ultimately, infinitely, completely good. Often when we think of God's perfection, we immediately think of his holiness. And God is good, completely without sin, and that means he is above and beyond. He is infinitely special, separate from us, distinct from us, above us in his moral character. But that's holiness. That's something a little bit different than what we're talking about tonight. You could think of that as the transcendent expression of God's goodness. What we're thinking about tonight is the imminent expression of God's goodness. Goodness that we're going to talk about tonight is the up-close and personal ways in which God's perfection blesses us. God is good, completely without sin, and that means that he is kind and generous, that he delights in blessing his world and his people. This is what we're referring to when we speak of goodness, kind and generous blessing toward all of God's world and especially to his people. God is the author and ultimate example of this goodness. Since the beginning, goodness has overflowed from God to his creation. Genesis 1:31, then God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Consider the ravens. God feeds them. Consider the lilies. God clothes them. Much greater than this is God's generous blessing to us who bear his image. All creation is a gift for our flourishing, bearing witness to our kind and generous Creator. Paul and Barnabas explained this to the people in Lystra in Acts 14. He says, Yet he did not leave himself without a witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your heart with food and gladness. Our hearts ought to overflow with love, loyalty, and obedience in response to God's goodness. But left to ourselves, that's not how we respond. Instead, we ignore, suppress the knowledge of God and his goodness, all the while enjoying the benefits of that goodness. Paul describes this in Romans chapter 1 when he says, God shows his glory and his goodness throughout all creation, but although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is the height of ungratefulness. But God's goodness is greater. In response to our ungratefulness, God doesn't stop his common goodness to all. No, he continues that, and indeed he goes beyond, above and beyond that common goodness to give special goodness to his special people. For every person who turns away from their sin and believes in Jesus, God blesses us, as Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 1, with literally every spiritual blessing. Paul then goes into this long list. I'm going to bullet point it for you guys just for sake of time. He chose us before the foundation of the world. In love, he predestined us. He adopted us as sons. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. We have been lavished with the riches of his grace. God revealed the big plan to us, reconciliation through the work of his son, Jesus. We have an inheritance. We have the Holy Spirit fulfilling God's past promises and guaranteeing God's future promises. God, the good Father, generously blesses all his creation, and especially his chosen people. And, like Father, like Son, Jesus generously blesses his Father's world and his Father's people. Jesus' life and ministry on earth is characterized by goodness. Jesus readily expressed goodness, even to the most isolated and marginalized people. In Mark 1, we get this account. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling before him, said, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. This man was ceremonially unclean, outside the camp, symbolically cut off from God's people. Jesus displays his goodness and his power over the sin that had caused this separation. Jesus healed the man. Jesus' goodness overflows. And this is a picture of Jesus' power to overcome sin and the damaging effects of sin. Jesus' goodness is even visible in the little details. He was moved with pity. And he healed this man by touching him, a man who had likely not felt the touch of a human person in a long time. Jesus' goodness was practical as well as spiritual. Jesus' teaching and ministry centered on the spiritual kingdom of God. That's true. But his spiritual focus didn't prevent him from generously blessing people by meeting their physical needs as well. At one point in Jesus' ministry, he was seeking a place to be alone, to pray, but the crowds wouldn't let him be alone. They pursued him, and he spent all day healing the sick people that they brought to him. And he didn't stop there. Once evening came, this was when he did the miracle, where he took a small meal of 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiplied it to feed the whole host of 5,000 people. Jesus showed goodness to sinners, even his enemies. Matthew and Zacchaeus were tax collectors, traitors who cynically leveraged the power of Rome to fleece their fellow Jews. When Zacchaeus found Jesus and invited him over to lunch, the crowd grumbled and said, "He's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus repents, Jesus restores. In Gethsemane, Jesus healed one of the mob who came to arrest him. On the cross itself, Jesus redeems the thief who is crucified next to him when the thief confesses him as God. Jesus showed goodness by speaking clear truth, not just affirmation. It's worth noting that Jesus never compromised the truth in his expression of goodness. It was a kind blessing for Jesus to explain to Nicodemus that following the law and acknowledging the fact of Jesus' divine origin was not enough. Nicodemus needed a new heart. Jesus tells him flat out, "You must be born again." That's a kind and generous goodness. But the ultimate expression of Jesus' goodness is the special blessings that he gives to his Father's chosen people. Even though we have dark and ungrateful hearts, even though we have turned away from God, he made a way for us to be brought back together with him. Isaiah 53 describes it in this way. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are the sheep that have gone astray. But I am the good shepherd," Jesus says in John chapter 10. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." This is the greatest expression of goodness possible. How good is it to have a shepherd who takes our sin on himself? How good is it to have a shepherd who lays down his life for us? How good it is to have a shepherd who takes his life up for us again and lives for us. How good it is to know Jesus and be known by him. How good it is to inherit all those spiritual blessings from Ephesians 1 as a result of the good shepherd's work. How good it is to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. How good it is to be sons and daughters of God. And, like father, like son, the Spirit empowers you to generously bless your father's world and especially your father's people. Now, don't mix up the order here. Goodness is the supernatural result of your salvation, not its cause. Paul explains in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10, it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not because of works, lest anyone should boast. But you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which he predestined beforehand for you to do. Your salvation is a gift, in no way a result of your goodness, but you are being skillfully crafted by God into Christ's image so that you can do all the goodness that God has planned for you since eternity past. A couple of paragraphs after the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, we get this directive. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is the same way we see God expressing goodness. This is the same way we see Jesus expressing his goodness. Generously bless all, and especially God's chosen people. Like Jesus, generally bless, show goodness to all in your Father's world. Like Jesus, generally bless the marginalized. God has a particular concern for the poor, for immigrants, for those who cannot provide for themselves. Deuteronomy 24, 14 and 17 says, "You shall not oppress a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether he's one of your brothers or a sojourner. You shall not pervert justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless, or take a widow's garment in pledge." James 1:25 summarizes pure religion as, "Visit orphans and widows in their distress." Is this the posture of your heart? Do your actions actually bear out concern for poor, for the immigrants, for people who cannot provide for themselves? Like Jesus, show goodness to your enemies and people who have no way of repaying your goodness. Jesus says in Luke 7, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. To one who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and to the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back." Love, do good, bless, and pray for the town busybodies who crusaded for years to prevent Christ Redeemer Church from building a church building. Love, do good, bless, and pray for your trans co-worker who demands your hearty approval of their sin. Love, do good, bless, and pray for your other co-worker who curses you out when you confront them for ridiculing your trans co-worker. Be prepared to give generously. Write a check to the RGC Benevolent Fund. Are you going to Church Street? Make a plan to buy a homeless person a sandwich if they ask you. Resist the conservative urge to rationalize away Jesus' command to radical generosity. Like Jesus, show goodness by speaking the clear truth in love. You're not doing someone any good by avoiding the truth of the gospel. The worst news ever, your sin separates you from God, is immediately followed by the best news ever. Jesus is here to bring you back together with God. Repent and believe. Show goodness to your unbelieving friends by kindly and clearly pointing them to Christ for salvation. Show goodness in all your Father's world, and especially to your Father's chosen people. The greatest expression of God's goodness is toward his chosen people, and ours is likewise. Greet and treat your brothers and sisters with openness and warmth. Let's get some hot climate culture going here. Romans 15:7 says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Be friendly, shake hands, make eye contact, smile, share your food, share your home. Pay attention to what makes one particular brother or sister feel loved and appreciated, and then do that for them. It may be different than for another brother or sister. Do practical good for your brothers and sisters and encourage them to do the same. The righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.' Do you have a friend's family who all has the flu and can't make it to church? Make them a pot of soup. Do you have a friend's kid who outgrew their jacket and it's -2 degrees outside? Look through your closet and see if one of your kids has a spare. Do you have a friend who gets depressed in the winter darkness? Make a standing date to get together and bug them until they keep the date. Encourage others to do the same and celebrate the practical good that you see other people doing. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds." Show goodness to your brothers and sisters by bearing their burdens. Galatians 6:1-2 says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch over yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." If your brother or sister is fighting a sin, and they're really struggling, it's time for you to get to work. Jump in, get under the weight. Get them the help, encouragement, prayer, counsel that they need in order to obey and fight and overcome the sin. Stick with them in the struggle. Don't give up on them. Jesus isn't going to give up on them. Show goodness by communicating and serving with humility. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Speak and listen humbly with each other, especially on points where you disagree with your brothers. Dwell on what you share in common, not what separates you. You have a common Savior, you have a common Spirit, you have a common destiny. Confess readily and forgive tenderly. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. James 5:16. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Don't hide your sin. If you've sinned against a brother, confess early, confess quickly. Be kind and tender to those who are hurting, especially those who have sinned against you. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive list. If you want more ideas of how to show goodness to your brothers and sisters in Christ, look up the one another's in the Bible. This is a list of clear instructions for life in the community of faith. If you're a believer here tonight, I hope you're excited. You're a child of God, following in his footsteps, like father, like son. You're empowered by his Spirit to generously bless his world and especially his people. Perhaps you feel unequal to the task. Well, don't worry. We're all works in progress. Remember, we are his workmanship. God is working on you. God is working on me. Don't wait until you feel perfect. Just go and find every opportunity to generously bless the people around you. If you're not a believer, you may fall into one of these camps. Maybe you're thinking, okay, I just need to do enough good and then God will be impressed by me and we'll be on good terms. You're getting the cart before the horse. The point of comparison is not between you and someone who's less good than you, or you and someone who's a little bit better than you, and you can pass them up on the leaderboard. That's, the point of comparison is between not perfect you and perfect God. You can never measure up. Titus 3, 4, and 5 says, "When the goodness and loving kindness of our God appeared, he saved us, not because of works that we have done in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit." Stop depending on your own goodness and depend on God's goodness instead. Turn away from your sin and trust in Christ. Maybe you're thinking, I'm just going to coast through life. You've talked about God's general goodness, and I'm feeling it. It's good. Okay, well, then this life is as good as it gets, and the common grace ends when you die. Paul says it this way in Romans 2, 3 through 4. "Do you suppose, O man, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to bring you to repentance?" Don't take God's goodness for granted. Turn away from your selfishness and your self-sufficiency. Look to God and behold the immeasurable kind goodness that meets the need that you actually have. Turn away from your sin and trust in Christ. Perhaps you're suffering. You may be thinking, are you kidding? Have you looked around? What I'm seeing doesn't look anything like the rosy picture that you're painting. Maybe you're looking inside and all you see is brokenness. Maybe you're looking around you at the world and all you see is brokenness. In a certain sense, you're right. Despite God's goodness, our sin has put death into our souls and into the world. But you need to know that God's goodness is stronger than the wreckage that you have made in your own soul and that we have put into the world. Turn away from your sin and trust in Christ. I want each of you to experience the fullness of God's goodness. And that is through a right relationship with God. Jesus Christ has made a way for us to have that right relationship. Like Father, like Son. God the Father is good. God the Son is good. Through the Holy Spirit, his people can be good as well. Generously bless all in your Father's world, especially your Father's people.